You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to NSPS Radio Hour. Glad to have with us today a panel of folks to talk about a topic we touched on to some degree a while back. I'm thinking it was a couple of years ago, something like that. But we thought it might be good to come back and talk about the program because at the time we talked before, there was a program beginning in Washington that now has had a little bit of time to develop. So we wanted to come back on and chat about this issue. So today I have with me Mr. Robert Zimmerman, who is a boundary attorney, boundary dispute attorney in Washington. We have Steve Crossland, who's the chairman of Washington's Limited License Legal Technician Program, which is the topic of our discussion today. We'll talk about what it's related to. And we have our old friend Gary Kent, who, should I say old friend Gary? I didn't mean to imply you were old, but our longtime friend Gary Kent, perhaps I should have said. But welcome to the show, all of you. Thanks for joining me today. Especially for Bob and for Steve, because you guys are still rubbing your eyes from a long night's rest so early out on the West Coast.
Happy to do it.
Not being surveyors as Gary and I are, you probably aren't accustomed to getting up at 4 every morning and heading off to whatever it is you have to do. So I don't know, Gary, maybe you're not doing that anymore, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I still do that.
I got in the habit as a paper boy back in my preteen years, and I never got over it, unfortunately. Just the way it is. But anyway, welcome to the show again, like I said. And perhaps, I don't know if Bob or Steve may want to begin our conversation and talk a little bit about the existing program that's been developed in Washington State and what it's related to, so our audience gets a bit of a context of whatever contrast or comparison we're going to demonstrate as related to surveying.
I think, Steve, you're best positioned to take that role, Ron.
Sure, I'd be happy to. The purpose of the program in Washington State is to provide access to justice, to allow public to have access to legal services that in many cases they can't afford. And about a dozen years ago, we began the process of developing a rule that our Supreme Court has asked we propose. It was about a decade in the making. So with a certain amount of controversy, I think, within our profession. Finally, June of 2012, the court adopted the court rule, the Admission to Practice Rule 28. And it really is designed to, as I mentioned, provide access to justice, but to also provide qualified, regulated legal service providers. Originally, the request was for us to propose a way in which non-lawyers could deliver legal services. But in fact, what has resulted is that it's a new category of legal service provider that is approved by the state Supreme Court. So they actually get a license to practice law in a limited way, and it's designed to be applied in any number of practice areas. The first practice area was family law, and of course, as evidenced by our prior conversation on this show, there was some discussion about perhaps applying it to boundary disputes. The next practice area under consideration is something I would call quasi-elder law. We've got a pretty robust education component that all the students must go through and a pretty robust testing component as well. The regulation of triple LTs is much like the regulation of lawyers. There's a great deal of professional oversight. They're held to the same standard of care, same rule of professional conduct. And we've got about a dozen in the marketplace now, with the number continuing to grow as each year goes by. So that's kind of a brief overview of why we developed the program and where we are now.
When you were talking about the education testing side, maybe I should back up a little bit. I think I heard you say that all the people who are participating participating are some level of lawyer, and whether, I don't know what that means exactly, but I guess it means they are taking some specialized education for this, and they may not have been attorneys going into it. Is that true?
That's correct. They are not lawyers, not attorneys going into the program, but coming out of the other end of the program, following all the testing and education, they do get a limited license from the state Supreme Court to practice law. So, the testing, education component is pretty rigorous. It takes 3 years. There's 2 years of four classes that all LLTs need to take, and that's taught through the community college, well, generally community college system, although there are four-year schools that are also maybe approved to run those classes. And then the 1 year of practice area education is taught through the University of Washington Law School. Gonzaga Law School does provide some assistance in terms of educators. And that's a pretty robust program. They take three-quarters of family law classes, which is significantly more than what lawyers take, particularly when we go through law school.
So if someone were in another profession, so to speak, whatever they may be doing, a job or profession, and they decided this sounded like something they wanted to do, do they stop doing whatever they're doing and get the education, or is it possible for them to do that the way sometimes surveyors do, by working part of the time and going to school part of the time? Because I guess people are going to go into this aren't already predisposed to start doing this. They're probably doing some other job.
Right. Yeah, a lot of times they're in the legal field. A lot of them are existing paralegals. Working in law firms. And that's one of the distinctions is LLTs can be freestanding. They don't have to work under the supervision and guidance of a lawyer. But to your question of can they do this while doing something else, while doing their day job, so to speak, yeah, they can. We have 45 of the 90 credits for AA Associate's Arts credit or degree are prescribed by us, so we have a very clear understanding of what courses we think they need in terms of getting the core education. And then they can, as I mentioned, take the third year through the law schools.
Kurt, I hate to break in, but you all are breaking up terribly, and I'm going to go ahead and start a commercial, and if everyone would just call back in and see if we can get a clean line going, because all of you are breaking up. So if you don't mind doing that, I'd appreciate it.
We certainly will. Thank you.
Want to know if your Schonstedt locator is still under warranty? Go to Schonstedt.com and click on Warranty Finder in the lower left-hand corner. Enter your 6-digit serial number, and it will tell you everything you need to know. Out of warranty? Click on Repair Department. But here's a tip. Before sending it in, pick up a $25 discount by going to Specials and Sales under the Buy Now tab at www.schonstedt.com.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Okay.
Attention surveyors, are you aware that that yellow stick you're using is saving lives all over the world? Yes, that pin finder is clearing fields and villages of unexploded cluster bombs and other hidden explosives in over 25 countries. Johnstead, in cooperation with International Mine Action Programs, provides free locators to where they are most urgently needed. To find out how you can help, visit the NSPS website at nsps.us.com. And thank you.
Quick Stakes is your answer to staking. Lightweight, easy to ride on, easy to use, easy to find, and won't break your back carrying them like the old-fashioned wooden stakes. Have you tried a sample? If not, get a pen and paper and write down this number, 800-438-0387, or go to quickstake.com, that's quickstake.com, and order your samples. Ask your surveying supply dealer for Quick Stakes today.
Want to know if your Schonstedt locator is still under warranty? Go to Schonstedt.com and click on Warranty Finder in the lower left-hand corner. Enter your six-digit serial number, and it will tell you everything you need to know. Out of warranty? Click on Repair Department. But here's a tip. Before sending it in, pick up a $25 discount by going to Specials and Sales under the Buy Now tab at www.schonstedt.com.
Quick Stakes is your answer to staking. Lightweight, easy to ride on, easy to use, easy to find, and won't break your back carrying them like the old-fashioned wooden stakes. Have you tried a sample? If not, get a pen and paper and write down this number, 800-438-0387, or go to quickstake.com, that's quickstake.com, and order your samples. Ask your surveying supply dealer for Quick Stakes today.
Hello, everyone. I don't know if listeners were hearing us before. We apparently had a technical difficulty, and we had some interference on the line. So I'm not really sure whether to start over or continue on from here, but just to make sure everybody's here, Bob, are you on?
Yes, I am.
And Steve?
Yes.
And Gary?
Yes.
Okay, we're all here. Maybe I'll just give a little summary, Steve, of what you were talking about, and the discussion we're having is on something called a limited license legal technician, which has been instituted in the state of Washington in June of 2012. It's intended to provide access to justice, and there are a group of people who are doing this work who may have not been lawyers, but have gone through an educational process and a testing process to be qualified to provide this service. And I believe Steve said that it's focused, I don't know if primarily is the right word or not, but to some degree at least, on family law in its current situation. And our conversation today is about whether or not something like this could be viable for the surveying profession in helping to resolve land disputes or boundary disputes among their clients without going through the normal process that is in place today, and maybe we'll want to talk a little bit about what that process is. So, Steve, did I get everything?
You did a great job. Yeah. You should go on the circuit.
Well, I take good notes sometimes. The one thing that I didn't mention that Steve had brought up, which I think is important and could very well have implications for what our discussion is going to be about in terms of whether or not this might suit the surveying profession, was the term affordability. And Gary, this might be a good place for you or Bob to jump in and talk about when people go to court, what are they getting themselves into, not only from a time perspective, but from a cost perspective, and oftentimes dealing with people who don't understand what they're talking about anyway. So I don't know if, Gary, if you want to start with that, and then we can have Bob's opinion as well.
Yeah, sure. It's interesting that we were having this because just about 15 minutes ago, I was talking with a gentleman from a state out west who had found something that I had written actually, I think it was probably something posted up from the State Surveying Society in that state based on a conference that I had had and presented at. And he had bought some property and had was now in a boundary dispute, essentially. Sounds like it's actually a title problem, but a combination of title and boundary problem. And I was encouraging him to, you know, that they might want to try and come to some sort of agreement versus litigation, but they're already in litigation. And I made the comment, knowing where he was at, I said, I can't even imagine that you're going to get through this for less than $50,000. And he said, oh, yeah, we're already over that. And they're arguing over 3 feet that actually he's in a platted subdivision, and he's got his full width, but they're wanting the 3 foot gap apparently that sits next to that, and was spending an inordinate amount of money trying to get that. And there are some other elements to it that because they need the 3 feet basically. But yeah, as soon as you get into that realm, it's just the cost skyrockets, and the time, of course, is, you know, going to delay things they're wanting to build and everything. I mean, it's just a conversation I just had a few minutes ago with somebody.
Now, was this, you've got my interest up on this case now. you're talking about 3 feet. Is that 3 feet along the entire property line on one side or the other?
Yes, it's along the entire, it's on one side of his lot that was platted at 53.8, but there was a 3 foot, apparently a 3 foot gap or a 3 foot excess somewhere, so his surveyor gave him the extra 3 feet, gave him then 56.8, which is 3 feet outside beyond the boundaries of the subdivision, and then he has designed a building to go on there, and they need the floor area, you know, floor space area. They need the 3 feet to make the whole thing work. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I guess my first question was, if it's outside the bounds of the subdivision, how do you go after that? But I don't know the whole story, so it's just kind of interesting.
Yeah, that was my thought. And of course, I was kind of trying to dissuade him from doing what they were doing, but he's like, well, we need the 3 feet because they got a survey that showed that 3 feet belonged to him, so they designed it that way.
Wow.
And now the neighbor wants the 3 feet.
Of course. Yeah. Well, Bob, you being the lawyer in the crowd, how you solve that one?
Well, I as a lawyer, I would start by saying I better figure out a little bit more of the facts.
I would say that's probably a good idea.
But overall, that is not uncommon that it be $50,000 if it's going to trial. And of course, someone's likely not to be very happy after spending that kind of money, and then they'll very likely try to appeal it, even though that's a money that they'll have to pay back if they lose the petitioning party. And so, you know, a boundary dispute, if it really gets going, can be a half a decade before it's really decided on again this 3 feet. So this whole idea that we're looking at here is there a way to, instead of going through that exercise of spending an inordinate amount of money and the emotion on both sides that goes with it, and time and attendant risk, to be quite honest, is there a way to get the parties to understand early on how to come to some kind of an end game where they, you know, cut an agreement? No one's going to be absolutely happy, but they'll be a lot happier than if they're out that kind of money. And what I find too is most people, you know, when they do have that victory, they do feel that it's pyrrhic in that, geez, I could have donated all that money to charity or something. I mean, it could have gone to some better use than fighting for it. So it's really one of those things that pits the neighbors against each other and just is not worthwhile for people right there on the ground. And then there's a bigger picture as well that I could speak to as well.
Well, back to Steve for a second. We've had a little bit of conversation about this, Steve, since our last show, and I know Gary and it hasn't been a huge topic of discussion, but there's been some discussion about it, and of course Gary is on the circuit all the time, and he's talking to people at least as much as I am, and we're hearing the typical kind of things from the surveying profession, or at least my interpretation of what we're hearing is basically saying it won't work. And I don't know if Gary's hearing that, but I think maybe he is. So my question to you, Steve, is when what's happening now within the realm of the caseload or the cases that come up in the existing board, did you hear that same kind of thing going in when it was being discussed?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, typically the things we heard, I would say the two typical criticisms of the rule before it got going, and frankly, a lot of the criticisms seem to be diminishing in terms of vehemence and number. But the two criticisms often leveled were they can't be qualified. They don't know as much as we do. And I'm going to come back and talk about that in a moment. And the other criticism is they're going to be taking work from lawyers. The answer to the first, that they're not as qualified, is I mentioned earlier in my comments that a triple LT takes a lot more classes in family law through the law school than most JDs. Most of us don't even take a class in family law. So one of the professors, when we're creating the curriculum, said these triple LTs are probably going to be better qualified to practice law in the area of family law coming out of, than JDs just coming out of law school. And the other is we're going to be taking work from lawyers is not true. I mean, we have a gargantuan access to justice problem. We have, 80% of low and moderate income people can't afford us. So I suspect the same criticisms may be leveled by surveyors against this concept of being introduced in the area of surveying.
Yeah, that may be true. And I certainly understand the part about maybe being better informed, qualified, whatever the term may be, because the people who are going into this are specializing on that one topic, whereas, as you were pointing out, attorneys in general are like engineers in general or sometimes surveying in general is more broad and not on one particular part of the law in your case or the profession in our case.
Sure.
And I don't know, I guess, Gary, and well, actually, before we go on, Steve, you said you were going to come back to that getting more familiarity or more schooling on family law, so maybe you want to pick back up on that.
Well, it was that triple LTs take 15 credits of specific family law courses, whereas a typical JD may take 3 credits. And the same will be true in the future of additional practice areas, that there will be a very robust education component, usually about a year in terms of education in a law school setting. So that was all I was going to add to it.
Thanks. And I don't know, Gary and Bob, what are your thoughts on that taking work away from? In Steve's case, the fear was it's taking work away from lawyers. I'm not sure we'd have that same situation in surveying because if my understanding of what the thought is there, it would still be the professional licensed surveyor who's doing this, correct?
Well, Bob can maybe chime in too, but the concept would be that it would be an opportunity for surveyors if they wanted to pursue this as as an extra qualification to what they do now, but it would not be exclusive to surveyors, and that's one of the things the lines of opposition that I have heard is nobody knows boundaries as well as us, and so it would be a mistake to have someone else approved to do this sort of thing which kind of misses the point in that it's not dissimilar from a mediation type of line of thought where the mediator is not trying to convince the parties what the right solution is. The mediator is trying to get them to come to some sort of agreement, regardless of the efficacy of that agreement as it might fit with boundary law principles. So I think the idea that only surveyors should be able to do this kind of misses the point.
I would agree with you, Gary. And the idea being that I see is it would be ideal if there's someone that can be in the middle to a certain extent that assists the surveyors and the attorneys to communicate amongst each other, because oftentimes one is more mathematically inclined, one's more linguistically inclined, and in a way that is understandable to the parties to the conflict, because it's more important not, what is the exacting correct answer for the parties, and they're the ones that are paying the bill, just that an acceptable answer is determined and they can go on. And now, how does this help both professions? At least for the surveyors, I see it in this way. If there's a problem, kind of like Jeff Lucas always says, if there's a problem that only surveyors are identifying, surveyors become the problem. Well, in that, this is something that people could go ahead and get surveys and not be worried that it's going to unveil a problem that is going to cost $50,000, $100,000 or more dollars to resolve, and all the angst that goes along with that. They're going to be more willing to have surveys. That's sort of a game theory analysis of things, where they're more inclined to take that risk because they know that they have a plausible way of resolving it. And on the legal side, even though that there's not as much business at the high end, which the lawyers might be inclined to...
Bob, I hate to interrupt you, but I'm going to try to get us back on track here, and I think if we take a break about now, we will get back on track. Let's go to that break, and David will bring us back in a few minutes.
Want to know if your Schonstedt locator is still under warranty? Go to Schonstedt.com and click on Warranty Finder in the lower left-hand corner. Enter your 6-digit serial number, and it will tell you everything you need to know. Out of warranty? Click on Repair Department. But here's a tip. Before sending it in, pick up a $25 discount by going to Specials and Sales under the Buy Now tab at www.schonstedt.com.
America's Web Radio is the most diverse and informative radio station anywhere in cyberspace. We have shows about health, business, current events, entertainment, home care, and everything in between. We appreciate your continued support of America's Web Radio.
Quick Stakes is your answer to staking. Lightweight, easy to ride on, easy to use, easy to find, and won't break your back carrying them like the old-fashioned wooden stakes. Have you tried a sample? If not, get a pen and paper and write down this number, 800-438-0387, or go to quickstake.com, that's quickstake.com, and order your samples. Ask your surveying supply dealer for Quick Stakes today.
Attention surveyors, are you aware that yellow stick you're using is saving lives all over the world? Yes, that pinfinder is clearing fields and villages of unexploded cluster bombs and other hidden explosives in over 25 countries. Schonstedt, in cooperation with international mine action programs, provides free locators to where they are most urgently needed. To find out how you can help, visit the NSPS website at nsps.us.com, and thank you.
You're listening to americaswebradio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
and we're back with our guest today talking about LLTs. And Bob, before we went to break, you were having a discussion that you were going to carry a little further and then bring Gary into that as well.
Yeah, so I mentioned how I think that this is beneficial to the surveyors in that there is a mechanism to have these boundary disputes resolved, which in turn will drive more survey services. On the legal side, that increases the volume as well for the really tough cases. But generally, this is what I find. When you have a boundary dispute, oftentimes the lawyers that have been in the firm for quite some time are disinterested in taking it on. It's kind of, they see it a little bit beneath them, and they'll drop it down to the first associate, the last associate in the door and say, you know, here, cut your teeth on it. So then you've got someone that really doesn't know what they're doing, trying to give, you know, work on this as oftentimes their first or second case, and that's not ideal because it just exaggerates the experience. It's not access to justice where there are a lot of these problems out there. They're just not being effectively resolved because it's so expensive. And so access to justice on the legal side is important, and this is where I'll hand it to you, Gary.
Yeah, I mean, access to justice is an interesting way to think of, or thing to think about with respect to what the surveyor is doing, which is providing a professional opinion as to where the boundary is, and maybe an opinion as to, you know, what's gone wrong, what's the genesis of this problem that we're having. But I think that being able to provide a direct people to a solution is one of the things that surveyors are well known, and Jeff talks about this all the time, which is, you know, we do a survey, we find a problem, and we say, oh, you've got a problem, you need to go call an attorney, which, you know, isn't, as what you alluded to earlier and what Jeff says, if that's all surveyors can do, then maybe they're the problem. You know, you've got a problem, go spend $50,000 getting it resolved. And it seems to me that this would provide a better solution to getting, to helping people resolve those problems. You know, they can go to court, we can get it resolved in court. And I think it was Steve said, somebody may be happy and confused, and somebody else is not going to be happy. If you can guide them elsewhere to a solution that doesn't cost that much money, and everybody is happy or perhaps equally unhappy, then that's certainly a better solution. And I, as far as taking work away, I would see another twist on this, and that is that if people can come to agreements, then those really, it's most desirable that those be memorialized in writing, and whatever means that is, minor plats or parcel maps or boundary line agreements or quitclaim deeds, what it depends on the jurisdiction and the state. But there's going to be a surveyor involved in doing that type of work, and probably people who would specialize in doing, you know, helping put a bow around those agreements.
Yeah, I think, Gary, from surveyor's perspective, folks like you and me, memorializing those types of discussions or agreements between people or even among people is really something nice to have going in, because you run into that sometimes.
And, oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
We see so many times where there's been some decision made, and it really, it ends up just being in the court's decision, or, you know, some vague thing that's out there that from a survey standpoint, it's like, okay, let me survey this. Well, I actually don't understand what the ruling was. I don't understand what the agreement was. And, if there was
if we had this route to go, I think those would be wrapped up much more effectively and with a lot more determination, or with a lot more definition in the end.
Or in some cases, go into a situation and not even know it ever occurred.
Well, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And that's
we're going to redo it. We're going to go through.
Yeah,
this
I mean, people have an agreement, but it doesn't get memorialized somewhere. The surveyor comes along and he's dealing with the Joe Friday strategy, just the facts. And then there you go. It's not really the facts in general. Steve said something earlier when we were on break, and maybe you can expand on that. But Steve, you said not every legal problem needs a lawyer, not every health problem needs a doctor, and perhaps not every problem between landowners needs a surveyor. I thought that was kind of interesting because I think sometimes we forget that premise.
Well, I think that's true, and I think we also, at least I'll speak for me as a lawyer, I think we sometimes think we are so well-educated and so well-trained that we can do everything, and when in reality there are people who work for us or with us who are more uniquely trained or more uniquely qualified and do, you know, they're actually specialists and can do that work much, much better than we are, and, you know, we should accept that and continue to do the things that we're uniquely qualified to do and leave the things that others are more uniquely qualified to them. And we're seeing that certainly in the medical profession over the last 40 years. And I think my profession, being lawyers, perhaps will come to that realization and all be better off for it.
Well, I understand, of course, that you're not in the surveying profession, but having gone through this process and now being in the position you're in with the current LLT in Washington, what are your just general thoughts about, I mean, we're talking about surveying specifically, but do you see applications for this in what we're talking about as well as other areas?
Yeah, actually, you know, since we began this, in addition to Bob and you folks, there have been a great number of people who have come to us and said, gee, this sounds like a great idea. Could we apply this rule to this? Or could we apply this rule to this concept? It doesn't seem like rocket science when you step back and think about it, to have people who are more uniquely qualified doing specific tasks and having those of us that are more generalists doing, you know, the bigger picture things. And so, yeah, I could see it being applied to surveying and to boundary disputes specifically. What it is an education and training. I think the whole overview of what we have tried to do here is to provide the consumer with a service that has some sort of good housekeeping seal of approval and does so by making sure that those that are delivering the service are qualified and regulated. And so, you know, I could see a LLT concept applying to boundary disputes where a person has a very unique and narrow knowledge of the law and surveying requirements, and then, you know, having this imprimatur from the state Supreme Court saying, yeah, you're licensed to do this, and the consuming public knows that. So, yeah, I could see that happening.
So how I don't know what the right terminology here is, cumbersome is the only word I can think of off the top of my head, was it to go from the concept and what you're doing now to reality?
Well, I think the concept was easier to get to than the acceptance. You know, we as people don't like change, and I don't think this is really a complex concept. It's just empowering people who are qualified to deliver certain services. So, but it took time. I mean, from the idea of, gee, we had to come up with a rule to the court actually adopting the rule, it took a decade. But not all, some of that was just, I think, maturation time. I think some of it was just having people accept that that's a good idea. And I think that maturation time could be built upon in applying it to the next practice area or to boundary disputes. You know, people already say, yeah, it's a concept. We know it. It works, and now let's just apply it to the next practice area. There will be resistance, I'm sure, but I think it'll be less than it has been in the past. And the process would be, you know, this all has to be approved by the state Supreme Court. So the idea of it being applied to a particular practice area, and then, you know, the development of the curriculum and the scope would be approved by the state Supreme Court, too. And that process generally would take a year or more.
So I'm glad you said that then, because I was going to ask about the establishment of the educational component of this, because if you got something legislated, if that's the right terminology, to get going, you don't necessarily have people ready on day one to do what you want. So
exactly.
The decade you're talking about included the development of that educational process also.
Actually, the decade I was talking about is approving of the concept.
Okay.
We began the application of the rule to a particular practice area in January of 2013, and we're giving the test in that practice area about 18 months later. So the process we went through was to define the scope of what these people could do and then develop a curriculum of education that would train them to be able to deliver these services, and then develop an exam to make sure we're testing them in an appropriate way. So I would imagine this in some way would involve looking at the education for lawyers and for surveyors, and then, you know, from that, developing some curriculum that would be appropriate for resolving boundary disputes.
We're getting close to our next break. I was going to ask you a couple of other questions, and I'll pose them. Maybe you won't get a chance to answer them just yet.
Okay.
But
okay.
One was, is Washington's case totally unique, which I think it probably is. And the other is, as surveyors and lawyers. We're accustomed to the whole structure in licensing, if you will, of the concept of a licensing board, an entity that has to be set up and maintained. So we're 10 seconds out from the break, so maybe we can think about those two things before we go to break, and we can touch on those. And then in our last segment, where we can talk about, looking forward to the surveying part of this, what's next, where are we headed coming down the line. So let's go to that break. We'll be right back.
Attention surveyors, are you aware that yellow stick you're using is saving lives all over the world? Yes, that pinfinder is clearing fields and villages of unexploded cluster bombs and other hidden explosives in over 25 countries. Johnstead, in cooperation with international mine action programs, provides free locators to where they are most urgently needed. To find out how you can help, visit the NSPS website at nsps.us.com. And thank you.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
Quick Stakes is your answer to staking. Lightweight, easy to ride on, easy to use, easy to find, and won't break your back carrying them like the old-fashioned wooden stakes. Have you tried a sample? If not, get a pen and paper and write down this number, 800-438-0387, or go to quickstake.com, that's quickstake.com, and order your samples. Ask your surveying supply dealer for Quick Stakes today.
Attention surveyors, Schonstedt announces the Maggie, the next generation magnetic locator. The Maggie combines the best features of two flagship Schonstedt products, the sensitivity and precision of the GA52CX and the visual display and single-handed operation of the GA92XT. Contact your dealer for details or go to www.schonstedt.com. Schonstedt, the best just got better.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
We're back for our last segment today with our guest talking about the LLT proposal. And before we went to break, Steve, I asked a couple of questions. One was, is Washington totally unique in this? And then the other is the... I don't know how much you know about licensing boards overall and surveying, or I guess you do on the legal side. Is there a board structure for approval of credentials and examination for this element the same as it is for surveying or law or whatever?
Yeah, those are good questions. Let me take the first one first. Yes, this is unique to Washington. We looked for a model when we began drafting and couldn't find one. So we essentially drafted it from whole cloth with the idea, again, that we wanted to have qualified and regulated service providers, and that sort of then helped us create the structure that we created in APR 28. We have had a number of conversations over the last 3 years with other jurisdictions. I think we've been to at least 20 other states, and there are probably 6 or 7 states that are in various stages of serious consideration of adopting a similar rule. So it's an idea that's, I think, certainly getting attention. The American Bar Association is taking a serious look at it. You know, and my dream of dreams, I guess, would be that if a number of states would adopt this idea, that there would be reciprocity, so that the person licensed in Washington could be licensed in a comparable, and I mean comparable not only in content but in quality, in another state. So, you know, we're hoping that this will spread. In terms of the licensing structure, that's an interesting concept. The Supreme Court delegates the administration of this program to the Washington State Bar Association, as they do with a number of other programs. Washington actually has another license that they issue. They have lawyers licensed, and now they have triple LTs. But as some of you may know, we have limited practice officers who do real estate closings, and they, too, have a license from the state Supreme Court, although very limited. And these programs are all administered by the Washington State Bar Association. So we have been folded into that organization and are now creating some uniformity in a number of ways that the program and the lawyer program are being administered and regulated. So we're pretty fortunate, actually, to have that administrative structure in place. They've been of a great deal of assistance. I don't know if that helps answer.
That's a great answer. Thank you so much. This is kind of for all three of you looking ahead. There are people who are professional litigator and mediators, and so or even arbitrators for that matter. And I'm just wondering, for the purpose of the current LLT situation and looking into surveying, the thought just came to my head: does there need to be specific content skills or specific information type skills related to this system we're talking about? So, for example, if I had an issue and I just went in the phone book and said, oh, this guy's a mediator, I'll just call him, do you envision what we're talking about being more specifically connected to the issues at hand? I think I'm hearing that, but I'm just curious. Maybe
I can speak to that. I'll speak to that, Kurt. This is Bob. So mediation, at least generally, is taught initially for facilitative approach, which is, you know, let's try to get the people to come to some sort of agreement. It doesn't matter exactly how it may play out as to the merits, how they would be in court, but you know, as long as they come to an agreement, that's great, you know, and we'll sign it, you know, we'll help them document it, and that agreement will in turn have
the effect of law, if, you know, assuming the judge gives it to them. The other way, and the one that I think is important here, would be an evaluative mediation model in which people understand both the law and the procedures and the evidence and all the rest that would happen, you know, if the thing was taken to court, the dispute, as well as the survey side of it, so they can understand and perhaps help explain what's going on to laymen to try to bring people together. And the reason why is what they call a BATNA, the best alternative to legal solution, legal agreement. Anyways, basically the idea, if you don't figure out your agreement here, how is it going to be if you go to court? And try to unpack that for both of them, and then they can ideally come to the agreement right there in their best alternative to a legal best alternative to a negotiated agreement. That's it. So that's why, in my opinion, an evaluative approach would be the best, and these people would be able to interact well with both the attorneys from both sides, as well as oftentimes the surveyors from both sides, but also have that interpersonal skill that oftentimes people that are looking, just like you said, Joe Friday, at the facts may not have to help bring people together.
Well, looking ahead, and I'm sure Steve will have some sensitivity to this, having gone through the process, but for you and Gary, and this discussion's been going on for a while, what are your thoughts on how do we move down the line? I mean, there's discussion now. Sometimes there's blowback. Sometimes there's agreement. What are your views on what would get this to the next step in the process?
Well, I think at this point it would be good if we could speak with actually probably both surveyors and attorneys. There seems to be a little bit of mistrust across the line that, from the two professions, and whereas, say, we're able to have this kind of a discussion, it really comes down to people more at the rank and file understanding that this is something that's not only good for the individual, the people that we're seeking to serve, but both surveyors and lawyers, our professions, are going to be benefited. And then one point that I also, you know, I'll just slip in right here, and one that I think is good for the courts overall is, you know, we're at a point where petty lawsuits over 3 feet or less, that's something that's not precedential oftentimes. And we have core resources that are extremely valuable that are being co-opted by those disputes instead of things that are much more pressing. And so if we could have some mechanism to solve these, it wraps everything up much better. So as to your question, if we could have that discussion and start moving forward with, you know, building the trust and the mechanics together, I think we'll start getting some headway.
So in 3 minutes and 20 seconds, Gary, what do you think?
Yeah, as you said, we've been saying all day, discussion's been going on a long time, and I think it's very exciting stuff. I think that the what Bob said is absolutely true. There has to be some coming together a little bit, and I think, from what I understand, there is some understanding and some interest at LSAW on this, and you know, with Steve and Bob's help, I think everybody could come together and recognize that this is a viable solution to a real problem. and start fashioning. I think I can't speak for the surveyors, but it seems to me if the surveyors had some input in this and felt like they were being listened to, that they would, I think they'd end up supporting it. If they don't, I think it probably doesn't go anywhere. But they will have to understand, you know, what's trying to be accomplished and what isn't trying to be accomplished, and give up a little bit. I think it was Steve's comment about idea that, you know, work is going to get taken away, and I think that's stuff that people have to be convinced about, and that's not going to happen. And then maybe that starts the conversation.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense, actually, from what both you and Bob said, and I'll use the terminology of the guinea pig effect, because it's more effective to find something that works somewhere. And then, as Steve pointed out earlier, he's already hearing from lots of other states now saying, how'd you guys figure that out? Sounds like a good idea. So perhaps if the Washington Surveyor groups were interested, you already have something similar functioning in the state, so that gives you something to work with. So maybe that is a good way forward. I don't know. So we got a couple of minutes left. Steve, any final thoughts?
Yeah, a couple of final thoughts. One, Bob mentioned access to justice in a different form, which is, you know, our courts, our resources are very, very limited, and finding ways to resolve disputes like this is a tremendous benefit to the court system, because it does free up valuable resources for them to deal with other, perhaps more pressing matters. The other thing that I think is really significant that has happened, I think, in the dialogue in Washington around the LLT is that I think the perspective of us as professionals has shifted somewhat from not being so much what's in it for me, but rather, how do we serve and protect the public? How do we use our resources, our skills, and our talents to best serve the public? And you know, I often salt and pepper many of my conversations with just those two phrases, that we're about serving and protecting the public. And I think that concept might help surveyors and lawyers kind of shift their perspective in this dialogue and make it focus more on what's best for the public.
That's a great concept, and we're 30 seconds out, so I want to make sure I thank all three of you for being with me today. But that idea that you just brought up might be the best thing we're going to leave with today, is we should all focus on the fact that we're supposed to benefit the public and help them through our professional expertise, and maybe that's a good focus moving forward. So, again, thank you all for being here. Sorry we had our little problems, but I think we got through it pretty well. So, again, I appreciate your being with me today, and hope to talk with you again sometime soon.
Thanks for the opportunity.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.